Today, AFA Vice President Walker Wildman will point us to some of the future hotspots in the culture war and show us what's needed to face them.
These problems that we're facing in America are not going to be fixed with one election cycle. If you look at how we got to this place in America, it didn't take 4 years or 3 years. It took 50, 60, 70 years.
Then AFN News Director Fred Jackson explains the turmoil in mainstream news outlets following the 2024 election cycle.
I think it is a swing made necessary by the bottom line, which is money. Now, will CNN become a Fox News? I don't know about that, but they are worried about the bottom line, and that's what's happening. That's part of the revolution.
It's the weekend of December 7th and 8th. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Persistence is defined by the Encyclopedia Britannica as the quality that allows someone to continue doing something or trying to do something, even though it's difficult or opposed by other people. AFA Vice President Walker Wildman has written a great article in this month's The Stand magazine about persistence in light of the 2024 election cycle, and he's joining me to talk about that. Hi, Walker.
Hey, Jeff. Glad to be back on the program.
The election cycle was filled with more anticipation, I think, prayer and hard work than anyone that I've seen in my lifetime. But your article is addressing persistence, the Christian's call to post-election persistence. Why did you feel that that was a needed message?
Well, I wrote this article leading up to the presidential election and not knowing what the outcome would be, but I knew either way what the call to action should be for the Christian, and that is to persistence in the long run as we fight to be salt and light in this culture. The reason that that word persistence just really has stood out to me in recent months and years is we, as humans, we tend to not remain diligent in our efforts to be salt and light, to transform culture, to advance the gospel. Sometimes we kind of sit back a little bit and go on vacation, yeah. It's a problem. So this is really a message to the Christian community that these problems that we're facing in America are not going to be fixed with one election cycle. If you look at how we got to this place in America where secular humanism is dominant, where so many people don't believe in God, where immoral things are being pushed in society, it didn't take 4 years or 3 years. It took 50, 60, yeah. 70 years.
Yeah, I was thinking about that before our interview today. You know, humanism had this long march through the institutions.
Yeah.
And you think about family, you think about education, the courts, entertainment, just about everything. You can go back and find some pretty liberal tendencies in the 20s and 30s of the early 20th century. So this is a long march for Christians as well to be salt and light, and I think that's a great thing to bring out. There are some people that are thinking, okay, we've got Donald Trump on the way to the White House. The problems are going to be fixed. The border, you know, the woke military, rampant crime. What are some of the issues in your mind that are still at risk when it comes to this next administration?
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of things that President Trump does well. I think, obviously, he's going to be better off than would have been a Kamala Harris administration. And I think a lot of these issues will be solved, at least in the short term. But there's some issues that Republicans aren't doing very well on, and that is abortion and marriage. The Republican Party has gone soft on the issue of abortion and marriage, and they either don't want to talk about it, or when they do talk about it, they take the wrong position. So I think as evangelical Christians, we're going to have to do a better job holding public officials accountable that issues of marriage and family and human life do matter. They do matter, not just to God, but they matter to voters as well. So I think holding elected officials accountable on the issue of marriage and family and abortion are two critical areas that as citizens and voters in this nation, we're going to have to hold elected officials accountable to. And one other thing I'll mention is that the declining birth rate is the five-alarm fire going on in our nation that nobody's talking about. And the reason people aren't talking about it is, well, our society says, well, if you want to have kids, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. Or you can just have an abortion. And then within the church, we don't want to step on people's toes because some people want to have one kid. Some people want to have five. So we don't want to, you know, preach about having kids because some people may not want kids or they just want to have one or two, for whatever adult desires that they have. So the issue of the declining birth rate in America, we're not even replacing ourselves. We're under 2%. That's a, not only is this a biblical and moral issue because it's reflective of how people view children, but it's also an economic issue because who's going to be paying taxes and Social Security in 40 years when I'm retiring? And the answer is very few people because we're not having babies.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. You had a lot of courage, Walker, mentioning that. That's a lightning rod in a lot of places. And I will say even in pulpits, it is.
Oh, yeah.
You wonder, why is that? Because one of the first commandments God made was to be fruitful and multiply. We'll have some articles coming out about that in future editions of The Stand magazine, so people can be looking for that. So thank you for mentioning that. You've written this article as head of AFA Action, the governmental affairs affiliate of AFA. Tell us about that organization and what it's doing to tackle some of those remaining issues.
AFA Action is the 501c4 governmental affairs affiliate, and 501c4 is just an IRS designation for politically oriented organizations. And so it's an affiliate of AFA. I'm the CEO there. My dad, Tim Wildman's on the board. He's the president of AFA as well. And we're basically all things government and policy for AFA.
Okay.
As the affiliate. And AFA Action's been around since 07, but we really didn't get our feet off the ground and start really utilizing the entity until about 3 years ago when we acquired iVoter Guide.
Mm-hmm.
So AFA Action is doing all things policy and government now. We're walking the halls of Congress. We are working with state legislatures on model legislation to advance family values. And we're working with governors and all kinds of state officials on various pro-family policies. And we're researching future judges for the federal court system. So we're doing a lot there, but pretty much anything you think about promoting AFA core values in policy and government, that's what AFA Action's doing.
Tell us about the judicial aspect of what AFA is doing. That's exciting.
Yeah, we've been researching federal judges for the last 2 years, really in anticipation of a potential President Trump victory. So we've been working on this for 2 years, even before we knew President Trump was going to win the election. But we knew the work needed to be done. And the reason we began researching future federal judicial nominations is because there was a major void in looking at the worldview of judges. We were looking at rulings and different papers when they were a law student, but we weren't looking at their worldview. For example, where do they go to church? Do they go to church? What's their professed religion? How many marriages have they had? Hmm. All of these things factor into a person's worldview and how they make decisions when they're ruling on the judiciary. So we begin looking at all those factors when it comes to federal judges. And we want to have the best of the best of the best judges that rule based on the Constitution and the original intent of the Constitution and the law.
So you have this pool of judges that have been researched and vetted, and then when it comes time to make those appointments, you have a ready-made list to hand to a senator.
Yes.
Or to the administration of some great judges.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Good. And there's two highly likely retirements at the Supreme Court coming up in the next few years, and that's mm-hmm. Justice Thomas and Alito, the two best justices on the court. And we've got to replace them with A++++ justices on the court. So that's a very important thing, but we've already briefed multiple senators. We're working on briefing President Trump's administration. So there's a lot of work to be done there. But the role of these federal judges is very broad and very powerful, so we need good people in these positions on the federal judiciary.
Mm. Debbie Withnow of iVoter Guide has been on the show a couple of different times. A lot of effort and energy and finances have been poured into iVoter Guide to really beef it up and make it something that would benefit people in this past election. Now that you look back on it, how did that pay off? How did that turn out with all that you put into iVoter Guide?
Yeah, so we had the idea, several of us did, this vision of acquiring iVoter Guide, because we had already partnered with iVoter Guide for over a decade, But back in 2021 and 2022, we decided to acquire iVoterGuide, AFA Action did. And so we did that with the long-term vision that this tool is going to be critical for voters moving forward, especially Christians. And so ever since then, we've covered a couple of different election cycles, but this election cycle in 2024 was the largest we've covered. And we researched iVoterGuide over 13,000 candidates for public office. And I'm talking about, we didn't just put their name in their bio. We researched their records. 13,000. So we covered all 50 state federal elections, and then we covered 30-plus statewide elections, so state House member, state senator, governor, et cetera. So we covered thousands of candidates for public office. It's the best voter guide in the country. I can say that without a doubt. And we're looking at their record, who gives them money. So our goal is to get that into the hands of as many people as possible. And I think this election in 2024 is fruit of our labor when it comes to iVoterGuide.
Yeah, no one should go into the voting booth uninformed.
No.
There really is no reason for that,
right,
with the resources that we have. Walker, what can listeners do now to get involved? What's step number one in exercising some of those civic responsibilities?
I would encourage folks to visit afaaction.net, afaaction.net. The first thing I would do is sign up for our emails. We're going to send our AFA Action emails every week. We're going to keep you up to speed on what's going on with the Trump administration, what's going on with the cabinet, and Congress. And so there's going to be a lot of action steps that we need you to do as voters to keep our elected officials on the right track when it comes to this mandate that President Trump has been given. So I would encourage them to sign up for emails, be on the lookout. We're going to need you to call your senator, call your congressman, email the White House. We're just going to really have to stay engaged in order to maximize this opportunity that God has given us.
All right, afaaction.net. Check that out and sign up for all those emails. AFA Vice President Walker Wildman, thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
If you've watched the mainstream news outlets any time at all, you know that there's a sharp ideological bent to the left. But that liberal drift didn't happen suddenly. It was a very gradual shift over many years and has left virtually no room for a biblical worldview. Well, in this month's The Stand magazine, there's an article about that featuring American Family News director Fred Jackson. He's joining us to help us make sense of what we've seen and to talk about an alternative news source. Fred, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Jeff.
Back in the 60s, I'm a child of the 60s and the 70s, I remember the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America. Then you had Nightline with Ted Koppel. CNN goes on the air in 1980. And there's that infamous sparring between Dan Rather and George Bush in 1988. A lot of changes we've seen in the news media. Tell us where you were when you noticed a shift that was defined as what was acceptable journalism.
Well, it was kind of mid to late 70s, and I found myself, after being involved with broadcasting kind of as a kid, a teenager, did the disc jockey thing at the local radio station,
yeah.
But then kind of got into news. But eventually, after the couple of years that I spent in the military, I came back to journalism. And I found myself as a junior editor at National Radio News. That's for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in Toronto. So I was thrust as a fairly green journalist into the headquarters for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's National Radio Newsroom. So I was surrounded by what I would call traditional journalism. This would be the late 70s. A lot of ex-BBC people who had come from Canada to work for the CBC. And my impression immediately was very strict standards.
Okay.
I was instructed that we're not interested in your opinion about anything. What you want in your stories is a reflection of what others are saying about the issues. We don't want your opinion reflected in that at all. That was the standard at that time.
Okay.
With time, though, and I continued to work for the CBC for most of the next 20 years, with an exception of a year to go to Bible school. And I found the change coming from the top. Mm-hmm. There was a change in leadership at the top, as often is the case when philosophical changes occur. And I think really, in looking back, it probably came out of the university system, the journalism schools. The journalism schools began to reflect the evolving philosophy of universities in that anything conservative is bad, that capitalism is bad, et cetera, et cetera. And then the switch in journalistic thinking, which went into stories, was, hey, everybody has a bias. You don't be afraid to reflect that in your stories. But it went even further than that, in that there was going to be a bias in a particular direction in the stories. And so what happened was the leadership and then eventually the hires had to reflect that, what I would consider in broad terms, kind of a socialistic outlook, worldview on life. And so that's what I saw, and that kind of evolved up until my time of departure.
Let's come up to current times. There were some headlines in the Economic Times. Speaking of CNN, the headline, "Massive Layoffs Coming Soon." And the other headline, "Media Industry in the U.S. Undergoes Massive Disruption. Comcast Announces Spinoff of CNBC, MSNBC, and so forth." What is causing all of this upheaval now, after the election cycle, of course, here in the United States? Because we know the left drift has gone crazy here. But now there's a crumbling. There are cracks in the wall.
Yeah.
What is going on?
A couple of things. For years now, Pew Research has done surveys of journalists in this country. 90% said they voted Democrat. So that's been going on for years. And that's been known, particularly by people in the industry. But what happened was, on the air, much like what happened with me at the CBC, the bias has grown more severe in favor. So without apology, they're agreeing with the Democratic Party and very anti-Republican. And that grew on steroids when Donald Trump came down that escalator in 2015. Journalists were determined to see his defeat. And so, and they had no discipline in those newsrooms. And people have begun to notice that all of a sudden you're just repeating Democrat talking points. You're not being news journalists anymore. There's room for editorials on editorial pages, but that entered into. But I think the other thing that has happened that has the mainstream media bosses worried is the impact of people going to other platforms to get their news, Facebook, X, all of those sorts of things. So all of that has combined, the suspicion of the public of the bias of news media, coupled with the fact that they can get their news somewhere else. And so the Washington Post, Los Angeles Times decided in this election cycle they weren't going to endorse the Democrat candidate. Yeah. And you saw the uprising on the staff. How could you do this? Well, they were doing it because the bosses who are responsible for revenue said, we're losing readers like crazy. Likewise, CNN, NBC, we're losing audiences. We cannot sustain this. We have to change. And so that is what has led to the announcements recently of this downscaling of staff, but also the sell-off of a portion of, well, Comcast owns NBC's interests. So Comcast has taken off, I think it's MSNBC and a few other portions of the network, and who knows what's going to happen to them.
So you have Morning Joe, who goes to Mar-a-Lago, receives tremendous blowback from their audience. On the inside, Fred, I'm sort of silently cheering this because I'm finally seeing a little bit of sanity come back into the marketplace.
Yes.
Are we being too optimistic to see what may appear to be a swing back to a little bit more conservative viewpoint, or is this a strategy?
I don't think it's a swing into conservative viewpoint. I think it is a swing made necessary by the bottom line, which is money.
Keep the lights on.
Exactly. That's what's happening.
Okay.
If we're to continue to exist, we cannot be driving away our customers. We've got to do something to stop this. Now, will CNN become a Fox News? I don't know about that. Perhaps over time, but they are worried about the bottom line, and that's what's happening. That's part of the revolution.
All right. Well, the good old marketplace.
Yes.
At work.
Yes.
Let's get to current times. Don Wildman brought you to AFA about 30 years ago after your time at CBC to do something entirely different. So what did you come to AFA to accomplish?
Well, I came to accomplish what I really felt at the time. This was back 1996. That the Lord wanted me to move on because I didn't want to be part of that extreme bias, left-wing bias. I was early 40s at the time, and I was sure that the Lord had something else for me to do, and began looking for a place in a Christian environment where I could use what the Lord had allowed me to learn in secular broadcasting. So I began a hunt for a place that might be looking for someone with my background. And I've told this story before a couple of times, but it was the fall of 1996, September, October. Came home from work one day, and I said to my wife, I really want to try to find a Christian place to work. Mm. Called my old pastor in Springfield, Missouri. That's where Susie and I, my wife and I, met at Baptist Bible College. And he said, well, there's an outfit that started here in Springfield, Missouri, American Family Radio. Here's the phone number. So I phoned the person. We had a local manager, AFR did there in Springfield. Yeah, and called that guy. And he said, yeah, they're thinking about starting a new service down there at our home base in Tupelo. So this all occurred in about 10 minutes. In another five minutes, I had booked a flight down to Mississippi.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have a look around.
Mm, okay.
Came to the home base here and had a look around. There was a guy by the name of Bill Fancher who had been hired to kind of start things rolling on the new service. I was about to leave that day, and Brother Don Wildman stopped me in the hallway and said, come and see me before you leave.
Yeah.
You don't say no to Brother Don. And I went in. He said, you want to come and be our news director? And you know what, Jeff? There was just a piece. And I said, yeah, I would like to do that.
Hmm.
And that's how it all got off the ground.
Oh, wow. What an amazing story. And the rest is history, as they would say. How have you seen people respond to news coverage that is from a biblical perspective?
Oh, the appetite for it has increased. As we have seen the more open spiritual warfare in this country erupt in the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
The challenges to parental rights, the homosexual and transgender agendas being imposed in our education system, in the workplace. People have become aware of the things that preachers have talked about for years, spiritual warfare. They started to witness and experience that. And so they looked for information of what's going on, what's happening out there, what can be done. The mainstream media were not answering those questions. And so Brother Don said, you know, in his wisdom, in his ability to see down the road, said, we have to have our own news service. So people, Christians, can come and get the biblical point of view on these important issues that are happening out there. And so it isn't so much something that we have done, but it's people responding out of a hunger for truth from a biblical perspective. And so it's something that God has put together.
Yeah, that's great. I would think in the past 2 or 3 years in particular, the world is on fire.
Mm.
And I mean, it is over the top weird.
Mm-hmm.
And things, and people are saying things that you're thinking, where are you coming from? I would think that would drive people more to want to say, what does the Bible have to say about this? Because you can't explain it any other way.
That's right. You know, a perfect example is what happened on October the 7th, 2023 in Israel. What's going on? I mean, why is there, you know, people are saying, why is everybody against Israel, this tiny, tiny little state? They're surrounded by their enemies, terrorists, Hezbollah and Hamas. And then Hamas attacks innocent Israeli citizens, and a massacre occurs. But within 2 or 3 days, we see protests against Israel on the streets of America. And people are saying, what is going on here? This doesn't make any sense. But it does make sense if you have a biblical perspective on who the Jewish people are in the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way to explain this. And so that is just one example that we're seeing. And then, of course, you know, on our home front here, the whole transgender issue. A guy who says, I feel like a girl today, therefore I have a right to play on girls' sports teams.
And people defending that.
And people are saying, wait a minute, this is not right from such, you know, not only from a biblical perspective, but you had liberals, moms and dads, saying, I don't want my daughter attacked by a guy, a volleyball team, who says he's a girl, and he's not a girl, he's a boy. So we have this insanity that has occurred, and people are scratching their head and saying, this is not right, even non-Christians. And so to make sense of it, I think people are turning to a news agency like American Family News, because, you know, our truth is based on an unchanging truth that God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a tremendous opportunity, not just for American Family Radio, American Family News, but for Christians in general right now to say, when people come to them and say, why do you believe what you believe? There's tremendous opportunity right now because people are asking questions. What's going on in our world?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this. There's a wonderful opportunity right now to say, well, this is what's going on, and the Bible said it would happen as we get closer to the Lord's return.
How can people participate in what you're doing and receive American Family News? What are the different outlets for it?
Well, on radio, American Family Radio has a wonderful app, AFR.net. That you can go to and you can listen to us wherever you go in the world. And our newscasts are at the top of the clock Monday through Friday, starting at 5 o'clock in the morning central and running through until 6 in the evening. But also, we have a wonderful website, afn.net.
Okay.
afn.net. You can go there and get the latest stories from a Christian perspective. You don't need to go anywhere else. And we're using that platform for an audio podcast each day, but also we've started a video cast that is updated on a day-by-day basis, Monday through Friday. So we also have a daily email, Monday through Friday,
okay,
that we can send you out a summary of stories. And you can go to the website up in the right-hand corner and sign up for that. And you'll just get one email a day, Monday through Friday, to keep you updated.
Good work, Fred. We are glad you're at the helm.
Oh.
Thank you for being with us today.
You bet.
Coming up next week, we'll learn how to be good stewards of the Christmas holiday with author, radio host, and pediatric nurse practitioner, Dr. Jessica Peck. We'll also hear how the gospel is making a big difference in Taiwan. A podcast of today's program, including resources mentioned by our guests, is available at afr.net. To sign up for our daily email or to get a free trial subscription to The Stand magazine, visit afa.net/The Stand. Have a great weekend and join us again next time on The Stand Radio.